things during the day.
Right.
Other people, your children, yourself. Your chair.
That's what for?
For a new chair.
You here last week, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah. Did we focus last week on tefillah for Klal Yisrael, different things for Klal Yisrael, right?
Yeah.
So, Rebbe, what you were talking about was 2 weeks ago. I believe it's the third week we're working on this, right? The first week we spoke about tefillahs for ourselves, right?
This is the second one.
But we did touch on Klal Yisrael also.
Mentioned it.
Yeah, that was, we should do for ourselves, others, and Klal Yisrael.
Yeah. But it's only the second week. In other words, the first week we did for ourselves, and last week we did for others and for Klal Yisrael.
Doubleheader, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mark, you have something you want to share with us?
I had more success earlier in the week than later in the week.
You want to attribute to something that we can gain from, or is it the personal?
No, I think it's more just time pressure, and one's not thinking about it.
Okay, Hashem should give you appreciate the Shemayim, but you should be able to. What about you, Baruch?
I don't know. I'm not sure what my batting average was, but I think I was able more. I also found the Klal Yisrael one to be the harder one to do because it was general. But then I realized if I just throw it in one of my Shmona Esreis, I could. I need to attach it to something. So that's when I did it.
I thought that was cheating. No, really, because I thought about it sometimes in Yehiyu.
I thought about the Shmarkalim, yeah.
And then I was like, but this is Shmona Esrei, though. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. I mean, you're allowed to do it, right?
Nothing moving, right. But I'm saying, it's like, as part of the
right.
As part of the avoda, right?
What is this doing on? Not really. Let's see what to do with this now. Okay. What about you, Moshe? Yeah.
There were better days and not as good days. I found when I was thinking about it, I was able to find things for Klal Yisrael, for someone else. Sometimes something would happen and I would think about somebody else and I would daven for that person and then I kind of throw in and Klal Yisrael should all, you know, and then I kind of brought out, I don't know, somehow I was able to, but it didn't happen every day. I mean, it's just, I wasn't quite as consistent as I wanted to be.
I don't know if we mentioned last week, but the important manifestation of this idea is Mashiach. Did we talk about Mashiach? That when it's Baal for Klal Yisrael, so Mashiach is an area that I think the Olam needs a lot of chizik also, and you know, focusing on the idea of Mashiach and being Mispal for Mashiach. You know, that it is one of the aspects of the mentality of Klal Yisrael, I think that's also missing, you know, like just like the whole idea of private tefillahs, that I think Mashiach, the whole idea of Mashiach was on the minds and on the lips of Klal Yisrael all the time. In Yiddish people used to say Zalman Lev Mashiach. They would talk about meeting next week somewhere, Zalman Lev Mashiach. That there was an expression that was always used, and just the aspiration and the how should we say, the yearning for Mashiach was in the hearts, on the minds, and on the lips. You know, it was hoping for Mashiach, hoping Mashiach, and something that they mentioned, they spoke, and they yearned for. And I think to a very large degree, this is missing today very, very much.
Are we maybe more comfortable? Maybe we feel more comfortable, like, we imagine, like, in the Alta generation as being a lot more downtrodden, and like the pressure of the goyim surrounding them so much more so, at least from a
historical. It could be. Because, the idea of Mashiach is connected with also the idea of the kibbutz goliyos, right? Very often in the course of the years, like when the Yidden were in a certain place, a certain country, and they started getting very comfortable. So the whole idea of kibbutz goliyos was dampened, like it was also. Some gedolim used to say that sometimes you saw a pattern that when the Yidden were living in a certain place and they became accepted and comfortable, and then Rachmanasan, there were some problems that would come up from the goyim, and Gedolim used to say sometimes because the Yidden felt too comfortable there, and they instead of having a mentality and a mindset that we want to come back to Eretz Yisrael, we want the Gula. So instead, they would get very comfortable. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu would send, the Goyim to make them feel uncomfortable, whatever it is, whatever the reason is, but I think it certainly is very, really missing very, very much today. I'm afraid that part of it, without going into politics or, speaking about groups and that, but I'm afraid that part of it might be, because of, certain Hasidic groups that they spoke about Mashiach. I don't know whether it was the approval of even the great people in those groups that speak about Mashiach, that whether he's alive or not alive, and that, sometimes this might have created
very careful,
because
they don't
want to
start being called Mashiach.
Right. I know myself sometimes I like to daven with a coil a little bit. I've mentioned here a number of times that one should try to daven with a little bit of enthusiasm, maybe a little bit of coil. Very often I find myself when I'm saying Uvol Tzion, and I try to say it with a koil, when I come to Zakenu L'mos HaMashiach, and I say it out loud, I'm afraid people could turn around and look at me, hey, what's going on there, I said, the irony of it is that the person who they, they're still campaigning that Mashiach, even though whether the person is walking around or not, I doubt very much whether that person would be for such a thing. like the way that person thought, the way he conducted himself, it seems like he himself probably would not be ba'ad, that whole campaign and the whole mentality. I mean, only Hashem knows what could have been his mind, but it didn't seem like congruous with his own way of doing things or thinking. But anyway, whatever it is, I that might have been responsible for what's going on here now today, and like you say, negativeness. The Chofetz Chaim says that that if Klai Yisrael would be Mispal for Mashiach and Kiev and wanted to have him, he would come right away, he used to say that. So, Alavai, I would say that, at least in our little group here, we can relive and rejuvenate and re-inspire ourselves, you know, for the yearning of Mashiach. Okay, Rabbi Sai, so this was...
I feel like Mashiach would have been for every Shemona Esrei.
Right.
So why do we need to make it separate, Tefillah?
No.
Separate, like, Bakasha in the middle. It's not like it's so ingrained already.
It's just to take it, it's a good question, and my idea was that sometimes it's we're so the rote of davening, the routine of davening, sometimes it just we don't have the enthusiasm and the real inspiration that we're really, you know, hey, we want Mashiach, you know, like just to awaken ourselves from a complacency that can come out just from habit that we don't, you know, just it's like something we say in tefillah, but I mean, kol kavod, if when you daven Shemona Esrei, like you think about Mashiach and you inspire that he should come, that's wonderful. But Hashem, I think average person, it's just like become a word in the davening, or a thing in the davening. It's not something that, you know, you really think about and aspire and hope and wait and, you know, mechakim lo b'chol yom sheyavo, and every moment we're waiting for him. It's just the yearning for him to come and the anticipation. So I think that you know that part of it has gone down. Right? So just when you make a private tefillah for it, so it helps to awaken. You know the okay, Rabbi Zai, want to clap a rain. This week in Nuvda of the Rabbi, so we'll try to do it quickly. It's an Nuvda that I think that our veterans have done here. We've done this before, and I'd like to put a focus on this. You know, it's a very, very valuable Nuvda in the Vedas Hashem. And just a Hakdama that maybe we may get the feeling that maybe it's not so important for us, or not we're holding by the Madrega. But I think that it's a very valuable focus, and it's good for us to, you know, at least 1 week we should be aware of it and to put the seed inside that someday. One of the habits and mindsets that just again, one more quick Hakdama that we changed the focus for this Uvda, Rabbi said, the last Tekufa we were working on, Beinon Lamokoim, you know, with Tefillah, and of course Chanukah also is Beinon Lamokoim. This particular Uvda is more like it's Bein Adam LaAdam. It's not Beinon Chavero, it's not Beinon Lamokoim. Everything is for serving Hashem, but this is an Uvda for our own development, our own, how should we say, working out of our own tchunas, our midas. So there's a tendency that I think we're all born with of curiosity. In other words, this tendency that we have, if we're not made aware of it, like that's what this uvda and the purpose of the uvda is to bring to our attention a certain tchuna that we all have, and it's operating all the time, and most of us are completely unaware of it, and of course the negative aspect of it. That whenever, you know, we're especially when we're outdoors, that's where it comes out the most. But we could be indoors also and using it. It's something comes over us, some kind of a power of curiosity. Now, and in other words, like when we're going about in our environment, this power comes over us, like I call it the radar syndrome. Like we just like casing out, you know, the our whole environment and scene for no positive reason, really. It's just curiosity, a certain type of curiosity within us. So, I mean, of course, there's a part of this that Pashut, we have an avoda of trying to have control over Shemir Seinayim, things that we shouldn't be mistakel on. You know, that's one part of this. But I mean, the main aspect of this that why I'm bringing it to your attention as an avoda is more than the histakles isa part. It's just that as productive human beings, like we want to use our waking conscious time for something positive and constructive. So let's say we're working in the street, so that time can be used for many positive, you know, different things. And what usually happens is just we're overtaken by this curiosity syndrome, which we're probably not even aware there's such a thing, because it's just, you're walking in the street, you're not doing anything wrong, really, and you just happen to be walking down the street, normal, you know, fine, but we don't realize that there's this power constantly that, look here, look there, check this out. Now, again, I'm not even referring now to things that we shouldn't be looking at, Alphistocles, but just for it's a meaningless, wasted activity of humans. You know, one of the exaggerated manifestations of it, which again I find myself guilty of, even though I talk about it, I lecture about it, but it just gets you. That's sort of like when a car rides by, I always find myself, uncontrollably, for no reason, checking out, looking into the car, who's riding in the car, who's the driver, who else is in the car. Like, you always do it. Yeah, a car is riding by, look up, check out the car. I mean, we're not working for the Shin Bet or, looking out for spies, terrorists. You know, there's no reason for it, but I don't know if you ever noticed, almost 100% chances are, but you never noticed it, because if you aren't made aware of it, you just do it, that's all. But when you become aware of it, so like it's almost comical to the extent of how it overcomes us, that you find yourself, like, for no reason, a bus rides by also, you look up at the bus, check out all the windows, much as you can chaperain, And I ask myself, like, what am I checking out the bus for? What am I looking for? What I want to see? Am I looking for terrorists or gangsters or, like, and you just do it. That's all. The bus drives by, you find yourself looking up and then looking at the windows, see if, hopefully it doesn't fly by too fast, that you'd be able to at least chap something. But when you're walking in the street, sometimes there's a newspaper on the ground. So, like, you find yourself, like, checking out the newspaper. I'm not even talking about things that are sneezed or something. Just like I said, I care which newspaper it is, what's on there. But you find yourself, you see a newspaper on the ground, you got to check it out. There's many manifestations of this that it's just curiosity. It's meaningless, unconstructive, unpurposed, wasted human energies, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this into us. I'm sure there's some positive reason and some benefit that you get from it, but whatever it is, it's a power within us that we have to be mechanech ourselves to have shlita over. Of course, to have the true shlita over, it's a lifetime, it's a project, but at least we should be aware, that there is such a thing, and make some kind of an effort, like to have it, to start trying to develop the control muscles. It's very interesting that, look in the Chumash, you see it repeated many times in the Chumash that talking about people in the Chumash, the Ovis, whatever, they're going by Vayisa Eina Vayar, they lifted their eyes and then they looked. It's like there's two processes, you know, and the it's not just, it's probably not just a idiomatic expression, you know, the Chumash. It's describing a process, you know, a true process of how they, you know, there's a story that I like to say over, you know, in conjunction with this avoda about Rabbi Eli Lapian. I'm sure you've heard of him. This story takes place when he was already a zokein, and I think he only had one eye that operated, and he had a doctor appointment somewhere, and he was waiting by the bus stop, waiting for the bus to come. And it seems like the bus was being delayed in coming, and he didn't want to be late for his appointment, so he started getting a little impatient, and he looked up into the distance to see if the bus was coming. And, you know, the world never heard the end of that. Like, how many times, like, he said over to Tamid and the people that he was close with, and how much it was eating him up, that time they looked up, you know, to see if the bus was coming. What did I expect to accomplish with that? Was the bus going to come sooner because, you know, he looked to see what was coming? It just, like, annoyed him terribly that he was nichshel and looking up to see if the bus was coming. Now, I mean, it's a beautiful manifestation and demonstration of this kind of mentality. This is how a yid is supposed to live, you know, with having control. Again, it's not even necessarily for, you know, seeing things that are usher, which, by the way, today would be a good, you know, that's a big benefit we get from, you know, from practicing, you know, this Torah Tikkun Hanhaga styles today, you know, are so terribly unsneezed, and even in religious neighborhoods, it's a big problem. So the least the person is exposed to having to see these things, the better off he is. But that's not the main thrust of, you know, of this avoda, of this form of self-control. It's more than that, much more than that. It's just a meaningless, wasted activity that people do if they don't learn to have self-control over themselves. You know, so and the way to be kind of the meter advice is like all, you know, all other uvdas is, you know, not to try to control it completely. Alibi that we should, but as a form of an uvda, I would suggest, let's say, we'll make it up like three times a day, like when you go out, like the first 5 minutes, so you should be aware of it, you know, and to try to, you know, when you walk, there's a way of walking without like looking all around, you know, taking in the whole, you know, the scene. We don't have to necessarily look, you know, look all down, or just to be aware of it and look in a way that you know you're looking down in front of you, but not like exaggerated. Just avoiding the tendency to just to look around again and again, take out this scene, that scene, there, that, this. Just to walk with your eyes in a way that not being the radar syndrome. Okay, Rabbi Sani, Yosef Be'ez Hashem is a very big toilet to have from it. It's not an easy thing to do because we're so used to, you know, doing the other thing our whole life, that when you become aware of it, you'll see that it's a tremendous energy that's there, that's driving a person to do it. Okay, Rabbi Sani, so maybe Masik over here, wishing you a wonderful week. Yosef Ishmael and Hatzlacha, Shua B'Zeicha to fulfill the purpose of why we're in the world. Let's say, because Prius and I'm not a simple thing. I'm not a new brother, then I'm a good bus. Good.